The other day I was just praying about this, just this awkward sort of in-between spot. You know, now we're here, but we don't know where exactly we're going. And the Lord just showed me a picture. That's just what I'm going to quickly just share before I give over to the guys. I saw a picture of a tree in a pot. You know, one of these, what do you call it? No, it wasn't a bonsai, it was a proper tree. In a pot. Is it a pot? A pot plant. Yeah, these pot plants, but it was a tree in the pot. And it outgrew the pot. And thanks, Lindia. A potted tree. But what happened, there was like two scenarios. I saw the tree in the pot. And then the one scenario was that the roots actually went through the pot and destroyed the pot. But then there was no sort of place for the roots to be grounded in. And then the next scenario was what I believe that God is doing with us as a church at the moment, is he's uprooting us out of that pot, and he's going to plant us in the world. And that's sort of the picture that I want to leave with you guys before we're going to start talking tonight. And Esther actually designed us just a bit of a picture. I asked her to get us a picture of this, this tree. Is it up there? No, it's dead. But the fact that I believe that God wants to plant us in the world. You know, this 3 years being in the building up here has been really great, and God has placed us here. But I almost see it like it was sort of like a preparation time. Like you would plant a tree in a pot and then go and plant it somewhere else. I see it, you know, God is going to now put us there. And for many of us, he's going to actually give us influence in places of significance. And for us as a church, I believe it's a significant time when he's gonna plant us. We're gonna ask you guys have mics. Okay, we're gonna start with Duncan. So Duncan, why don't you just tell us quickly something about your week? Just something about yourself.
Okay. Well, I've got two jokes actually. One is that the Sharks lost this final. I don't know how that happened, but anyway. Okay, so I got a joke here, right? There was this church service, okay, and the pastor was standing at the back there after the end of the service, so that the guys could leave, shaking everyone's hand and whatever, and saying how's it and whatever. So this guy came who doesn't normally come to church. So he says, it's good to have you here. You must join the Lord's army, he says. The pastor says. So this guy says to him, yeah, but I am in the Lord's army. And then the pastor said, no, but I only see you here kind of twice a year. You only come in Easter and Christmas time. You know, I don't know about that. So the guy kind of looked around and brought him close and he said, I'm the Secret Service.
Great stuff. Thanks for that ad break, Duncan.
Thank you.
Great. We've got the technical back. So that's sort of just the picture there. For show for next year. If you can go to the next slide. What we're going to do for next year is have sort of two ministries that we're going to focus on tonight. I believe that God wants us to, as a church, come to a place of more specific autonomy. And specifically, we're going to have a sort of a ministry for young working people, and then a ministry for students, and then a ministry for families. So we're not going to talk about the ministry for families this evening. But from that side, Loki and Reno, they're going to be focusing on the young working. So just keep that in mind, because they're going to answer their questions in that line. And then Marnes and Duncan and Ivan's going to be talking about the students for next year. And the theme there for next year is to get out there. Don't you think that's a cool logo? We just want to thank our graphic designer, in-house graphic designer, Esty, who designed all the graphics. Yeah, but before we start with the questions, maybe Reno, can you just tell us quickly what you do?
What I do.
What you do. But take the mic and then tell us what you...
For those of you who don't know, I'm in clothing manufacturing. So I manufacture clothes every day of my life. I'm not a fashion designer. No, and I can't give you free stuff, so don't ask me. So we've got a big manufacturing business, about 280 people working for us. And we manufacture product for Uzi, Truworths, Fashini. So a lot of the stuff that you buy in the stores comes out of our factory. Yeah, cool.
Great stuff. And Reno's lying, he's a fashion designer. He's just hiding that part. Okay, Manas, do you want to tell us what you do?
I'm a full-time dad. when I want to have fun, I do some engineering on the sideline. I work at a aeronautical company in Westlake, design some cool engineering stuff. That's what I do for a living.
Okay, Duncan, we most of us know, all of us know that you're a teacher, but you often have some interesting stories. Don't you want to tell us a quick story of of your class?
Can you come back to me? Can I just think about it quickly?
Okay, we'll get back to you. Ivan, what do you do?
I'm a production manager. I studied industrial engineering, and the rest of the time I look after my wife.
Is that also a full-time job?
It's full-time.
Lucky.
I'm a happy husband. No, I work in the finances, and I can't dodge tax. Pay tax, that's a good thing to do. But glad to be here. But nervous, must say.
Okay, so Lucky, while you're nervous, let's start off with some of the more serious questions. So tell us, why are you excited for 2013? And what is going to be different from this year?
First of all, we got a baby D joining us. That's going to be different. We got a baby Yankovic joining us as well, so that's just amazing. I'm looking forward to more bras. That's what I'm looking forward to. You know, the nice socials. This morning, Rona had an amazing sermon, and you know, we don't need to hear the word. We must put the word to our works. You know, action. So this morning was a little bit of on fellowship, and about really just living like the Acts 2 church. And just after the service, a lot of people came to our house and we had the most amazing time. So I'm looking forward to more of that for 2013.
Maybe one of the student guys can answer from your side. What is going to be different for the students in 2013? Give Pastor Mike DeManis.
For me, I believe God has already done some great things this year. So I don't feel like it's going to be a lot of different. It's going to be a lot of building upon what God has done in the last year. And I just see so much potential in the leaders God has given us, the student leaders. God has really given us an amazing group of young students that are really zealous for God and they want to see the kingdom come. So what I see different for 2013, I see a lot more of those students coming forward and taking ownership of campus and just taking ownership of things that picture shows of getting out there. Students getting out there and taking initiative and just making the kingdom come and making God's glory shine upon UCT. That's what I see different. 2013, and I believe God is going to come and do it.
On that question, Manas, why don't you just tell us, why do you believe God has placed us at UCT? There's quite a few churches on UCT campus, but why Shofar? And why should we be there?
It's a good question. I think I should ask Ringo that question, but I'll try. I think for us, for anything we do, we must hear from God what He wants to do. the Bible is very clear that God gives birth to His purposes. So we cannot just do things because it's a good idea. And the analogy that Rainer used was, why do we want to plant another church? And the picture I would paint is, if you are a Shell garage, or you're the owner of Shell garages, and somebody comes and plants another Shell garage right next to you on Main Road, then you're not actually going to do the bigger company a favor, because you are just going to take clients from the other Shell garage. But if you go and plant a Shell garage next to a Caltex garage, then you're possibly going to take clients away from the Caltex garage. And that's the same for us. There's a lot of good things happening on UCT. But we are not trying to compete with other churches. We are actually trying to reach out to those students who haven't come into contact with the gospel yet, haven't come into contact with God yet. In terms of, and even that, even if that is our intention, we will still be sure it's from God. And I remember still the day, or the weeks before we planted this church, we had intercession up here when this building wasn't even transformed yet. There was no dry walls here yet. And I remember the one scripture that came out quite clear was that God wants to make us a city on a hill. He wants to draw the nations to us. For myself, I've asked God to confirm that for me in scripture. And Isaiah 49, Isaiah 60 has been quite pertinent to me. It speaks about Jacob, God taking Jacob, which was he was quite a rebel, quite a naughty guy, trying to manipulate God. God takes him and he transforms him, and he calls him Israel. And then he says the nations, he's going to use him he's going to call the nations to him. He's going to call the kings of the world to send their children to him. And they're going to be transformed under his care. And I feel that's like our call here upon UCT. God is going to us, to the students that are leaders, and to all of us really. We think we are not able, but I believe the calling upon us is that God will send the nations to us. We will equip them, disciple them. They will go back, and they will go plant churches. They will go and do God's work there.
Amen. Even on that point, what do you think is the greatest need on UCT campus?
I strongly feel it's Jesus. Now I thought about this. Now, if you say Jesus, it sounds like a religious answer, doesn't it? But the students really need Jesus. But they don't only need Him. They need us, who are already Christians, to reflect Jesus' glory. They need to see Jesus in action. They need to see Jesus alive. They need to hear His words day after day. And they need the Holy Spirit to transform them.
That's a good answer. Great. Are you guys ready to ask questions at the back end? I've got a couple more, but I want to just give you some time to think. Back to the working guys. Reno, what makes you excited?
What makes me excited for 2013?
Exactly.
Specifically, I just feel unity. I feel it's really going to be a season where God calls us together to become one. And I just said this little scripture that God reminded me of was in Genesis, and speaks of the story of Babel, which I think most of us know. And it says here, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. And we know the story goes that God basically gives everyone different languages so they can't fulfill the plans that they've mastered in their own abilities. But what stood out for me is the fact that God wants to bring us together. And in God's purpose and plan, if we unified as a church, nothing is impossible. And especially in the young working, there's a massive need for us to fulfill that place. I mean, we've got an amazing amount of students here, but there's just a gap in the market in a sense. And we really want to reach. We've got a lot of girls here as well. So we really want to reach men, and we want to reach young working women and men for Jesus and for Christ and for the church. So that's what I'm excited about.
Amen. Great. Is the technical team there ready at the back? You want to watch a quick video clip? Is the video clip ready? Then D-Way is on the way. Okay, so while the technical team is just busy again there, you know, what has God done in your life?
My life.
That you would like to see in the working people in Cape Town? That He does the same thing that He did for you in their lives?
It's going to be a very Christianese answer, but the fact that He saved me. I want people to really meet with Jesus, and I was just, the last few days, just so remembered again that particular day that Jesus saved me. I was telling some people my testimony over the weekend. I was just, it was so amazing the fact that Jesus came and just saved me on a particular Sunday where I put my hands up and I connected with the most almighty, powerful God. And that is just something that I want to see happening in other people's lives. I want young people to realize what it is to live in abundance and not the worldly abundance that we know. I want them to see in Technicolor, not in black and white anymore. And that is what I'm excited about. That's what I see in my own life. I want to see in the students, and the young working lives as well.
Amen. Okay, great. Is the video clip ready? Just going to watch a quick video and then Rena's going to continue sharing on that.
You and I might spend about 70 to 80 years on this earth. Not long, we consider the timeline of eternity. Have you ever wondered what life is all about? Every day we get bombarded with the message to pursue the things of this world. Make money, get stuff, be comfortable, live well. More, more, and me, me, me. That's the prevailing message of our day. Our generation has a hijacked version of the American dream. But as Christians, we know deep down this distorted view of life isn't a real life. We read what the Bible teaches and we see how Jesus lived. Every day we face a choice. To pursue the me, me, me mindset, the American dream, or to pursue Christ. What if this generation was willing to trade in the pursuit of the American dream for a world that desperately needs Christ? To be traitors. A traitor is a new kind of missionary, not defined by humanity. Where you lived as a making missionary, the mission you're on makes you a missionary. Being a traitor is a movement that requires us to live out our faith, not just talk about it. As a traitor, we must choose daily to sacrifice the intention of our time, money, and skills. We can be like the Good Samaritan in heaven. When we're on the road of life and see someone in need, we choose to help. We follow Jesus' instructions to go and do likewise. A traitor must hate injustice and find specific ways to bring hope found in Jesus to desperate situations. It's easy to identify. What makes your heart break when your fists clench? A traitor sees work as worship. Everything you do in life, including your job, can be an opportunity to worship the God who created you. Because God is glorified when we use our God-given passions and skills with excellence. And finally, a traitor must act swiftly, because the time is right now. The result of all this will be a generation of traitors who are making choices with their time, money, and passions that are kingdom-focused and not self-focused, so that our short time here can have an eternal impact.
So, Rena, on that clip, how do you think that applies to us as a church, and how can we? What are sort of your thoughts on being traitors in the world?
Well, Oprah. Oh my word! I think the clip, while I was watching, I just heard a lot of people going, yes, wow. And so I think this really speaks to our hearts as believers here. And I think the term that he uses, traders, very unique also for us in the working environment. It really puts some perspective on what we do every day. And the fact that he says work is worship. That's profound, because what we do every day, sometimes we just say we do church in the evenings or on a Sunday morning or on a Sunday evening or a small group, but what we don't realize is every second we have that place where we worship God in everything we do. So as a church, I really see a perspective change for us in our minds and our hearts, and I believe that God is busy with each individual at this moment, and especially my own heart as well, to start laying down the stuff of this world and starting to follow Him absolutely without fail every day. And I think that's what the clip has really just inspired me to as well, and inspires my continuation in this exciting, very challenging journey that we're taking together as a family.
Duncan, what has God done in your life that you would like to see in others?
I think God has given me purpose in my life. And He's really, I mean, obviously He's changed my life. And what I'm coming to realize more and more is realizing the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And in that gives us our purpose in life. We went the other day to watch some cricket at Newlands, and we were sitting next to some UCT students, and I was just overhearing what they were talking about, and they were talking about partying and, you know, getting the next girl and whatever and whatever, and I thought to myself, yes, you know, those guys have got such a purposeless life. You know, it's what is it going to come to? You know, they study, they get drunk, and I mean that's their whole life's ambition, is to get drunk and to see how many women they can get. You know, and I realized to myself that, you know, us as Christians have really got a purpose in life. You know, but sometimes we're dull to that. We just want it comfortable. We just want it, you know. I just want to get by in life, you know. But that's not where the adventure is. You know, the adventure is there is getting out there, you know, making a difference. And when you start doing that, when you start giving of yourself, that's where the purpose is. That's where God is. When we start reaching out and giving of ourselves to others.
Amen. Loki, I can see you getting ready for the next question there. A lot of us, or most of us, or all of us, are inclined to get excited about different things. God has made us excited about various things, and that's just God's design. And I love the way that Pastor Fred sometimes puts it. He says, "What makes your baby jump?" And it doesn't talk about a pregnant woman. But he talks about biblically when the baby Jesus leaped in Mary's stomach. But it talks about a passion, a godly passion, a godly stir, a godly calling, whatever you want to call it. But Loki, what do you makes your baby jump? What makes you excited? What makes you passionate in the kingdom?
Boom. just everything that the guys are sharing here, but specifically just, I once was in darkness, and God came into my life, and He changed everything. He gave me a new heart. He gave me a community, not just friends, and not. He gave me a family. You know, when my wife and I, when we came to Cape Town, everything was new. We started work. We didn't know anybody, and God actually gave me a family. And if you look at that picture, you know, that's a picture of when we went away for a weekend, and it was just guys, but, you know, it was part of a family. We were just loving each other as brothers, you know, and the Bible says that the world will know us by the love that we have for each other. But more than that, even though it's a beautiful guy in there, and it's a beautiful picture, it's just such a symbolic picture of what makes my baby jump, not only jump, bungee jump, you know, it's Superman style, you know, because that to me is God's picture, because that's what I was like, you know, and God, the light at the back shone into my life, and you can see the freedom in my friend's face there, but to think that we, as working people, actually carry God's kingdom into our working place. The overflow of God's love
that he bestowed, this change that I was talking about and these guys are talking about. You think that you've got that gift that came freely to you, and to walk into a place where people are desperately seeking that. You know, to see eyes open, to know that to be a Christian is actually normal. That is reality. It's not something to be boxed, but it's something to be seeked and to follow Christ, you know. So what makes my baby jump is when I'm at work specifically and I see the Holy Spirit start the same work that he started in my life and other people. And actually, you know, being blessed by the eyes that God gives us so that we can see when he's moving, because that changes us. So that makes my baby jump.
Loki, while you're on a roll, who is Jesus to you?
I'm a crier, okay? When I was 6 years old, I looked outside my window at night and I knew that there was a God, and I prayed, God, just take me. I don't want to be here. I don't understand life. I'm depressed. I can't make any sense out of anything. And it went on for a few years, and luckily, I didn't do anything crazy. But I always had an urge to know God, but my family wasn't like that. You know, we didn't have that structure. And always seek God, always seek God. And then I came to university, and I remember at night I couldn't sleep. I didn't understand. I didn't have people around me that could explain to me spiritual things and how God works and all that. But all I did every night, I said to God, I'm not going to go to bed until I know that you're with me. And I actually felt God's embrace, even though I didn't understand. I didn't know about the Holy Spirit or all that. And God was with me throughout that everything. And then when I got saved, obviously, you know, this is the most amazing thing. You started learning that all these years that you actually called out to God, he was there the whole time, and you realized that that was the Holy Spirit that was there and was protecting me my whole life through, without me actually knowing. And to have a dark heart, because you know when you grow up like that, you get hurt. You get hurt real bad. I mean, and then you can't be happy for someone else. Like, for instance, I was incapable of being happy for a friend. So if a friend, you made the rugby team, deep down inside of me, I was like, oh, you know, I couldn't find joy in someone else's success. And when I got saved, God started to work. It was crazy. He should go to small group, guys, because when I went to small group for my first year of being saved, as I walked in, I just started crying. Boom, that was my small group for a whole year. But that's who Jesus is, you know. He came and he turned my whole life around. And I am so happy for my friend's success, you know, at the moment. You know, anything that's good for someone else, I find joy in it. And more than that, this broken family, this past, God saved every single member of my family. Because Jesus is our Savior.
Manus, what makes you passionate? What makes your baby jump?
Coming from that, it's going to be difficult to get my mind on a different sphere. But I think part of what that first answer I gave about students, GCT, what God is doing amongst us, when I see Scripture and I see what the world is at this moment, Scripture says the gospel is the power unto salvation. It's what's going to get people saved. But then when I read Scripture, I also see that people are being saved. There's a process of salvation. People need to get saved, and then they actually need to walk a road of discipleship, and they actually need to grow into maturity. And when I look at the world, and especially Africa, in this context, I see there's been a lot of evangelism happening over Africa. There's a lot of crusades, a lot of things happening, but you don't see a change really in Africa. You don't see nations prospering. You don't see governance being godly, etc. So what makes my baby jump is to see the kingdom come upon Africa, and more specifically, to see churches being planted in Africa. That really excites me. When I think of Shofar, what the mandate God has given us, in the prophetic mandate specifically to be the salt and the light, and to be specific in terms of taking down strongholds in countries. That excites me when I see that there's a prospect of a place like UCT where God really sends us people from all over the nations. It really makes my heart jump. Every person I see a potential church planter. I see a potential leader that's going to go either plant a church or going to go be an associate planter. It's going to be a helper. Going to go into business in their country or in their town, and they're going to do it for God, or into any career, and they're going to do it with the prospect of seeing the kingdom come. And that's what makes my baby jump. I feel the world hasn't seen the church arisen yet, and God says He's coming back for a bride, a beautiful bride. So I see there's a lot of that still needing to happen all over the world. And what makes my baby jump is to just be part of that, just to see how young people get raised up and do greater things than what I can imagine or what I can do. Really, when I see somebody coming into a place of knowing God and knowing the fullness of God, that makes my baby jump. It makes my baby jump to see somebody taking initiative and doing stuff for God. It's like my little girl when she gets on a bicycle and she masters it. That makes my baby jump. Nothing can excite me like that. And that's the same for me when I look at everybody in church and the potential that God has put in each one of us. Then I get excited.
Ivan, same question. And also, who is Jesus to you?
I'm going to talk about who Jesus is for me. He's my warrior king. No, I wanted to speak about this because he changed me absolutely completely. When I was younger, I didn't have a clue. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know who I was. I remember sitting in Standard 7, and our teacher was speaking about identity, and he was analyzing the different students' identities. And when he came to me, he just stood quiet, and he said, "Ivan is still figuring out who he is. He doesn't know who he is." And that changed drastically when I started getting to know God. I remember being asked this by Reno. I was in Reno's small group last year. And he posed the same question. And I also realized that it hasn't changed for me over the past many years. I see Jesus on his horse. I see him with his armor on. I see him as my general, giving orders. And when I'm in trouble, when I'm falling, when I can't defeat let's say that. When I can't defeat the enemy, you know, he's right there. I never see him with a shield. I always just see him with his sword, because his manifest presence just destroys whatever darts the enemy throws. And that gives me purpose. That gives me strength and gives me the boldness to follow him wherever he wants to go.
Yeah. Amen. Right, is there anyone in the crowd that wants to ask a question now? The floor is open. Angel, are you going to ask from there?
Okay. I was trying to think. All right. I've got this kid in my class who's I don't know what condition he's got. He's extremely clever in maths. But he's, in everything else, he's useless. He's got no social skills, nothing. Not useless, but I mean, he's not as good. Okay. So, I love that boy to bits. He's so cool. But he takes everything literally, what you say. Like, you have to say, if you say, I don't know, something. Sometimes we say something, but we don't really mean what we're saying. We mean something else. But he takes exactly what you say literally. So the one day, there was another boy who kind of was irritating, whatever. So I said, his name's Declan. I said, Declan, forget about him. Just forget about him. Okay, so then he sat there, and then the same boy had asked to hand out something. No, sorry, I'd asked him to staple something for all the kids. So now he's going around. And then he gets to Declan, and now Declan doesn't do anything. So now he's trying to do, but Declan's not doing anything. So then she says, sir, Declan's not, he's not allowing me to staple his thing. So I said, Declan, what's going on with you? He said, no, sir, you told me to forget about him, so I forgot about him. So he just denied his presence right there. He just, it's very funny for me.
Okay, happy with that, Angel? Right. Okay, is there any other questions? Maybe on a bit more of a serious note. Yes, go for it. Yeah, I think Manas touched a bit on that. I don't know if you want to say something more about that, but it's specifically about the fact that God has placed us here, and the specific scriptures that he mentioned is that he's going to send us sons and daughters. That's from afar. That's what the actual scripture says. That we're gonna equip, and some of them are actually going to come to Christ. First, but then equip and send them back equipped into their countries, into various places, to plant churches and to see the kingdom of God go in that direction. But that's a good question. Thanks. Any other questions? Well, let's go for Esty first at the back. She wants to.
Basically, how young working is going to work.
Firstly, I want to say that's a very good question. That's exactly what this evening is.
Yes. like Rainer said earlier, you know, we've got different focuses for next year, and one of the focuses is the young working ministry. Obviously, what we'll have to do is, firstly, we have to understand what the needs are for the people inside the church. The young working people inside the church. For instance, the nice thing that I had a need of community that I shared about, you know, and if there are people that don't have a sense of community, that's a need, you know, and then we'll have to address that need. For instance, like I said, that's why I'm so excited about having buys and having socials and doing what we did earlier today. It's so lovely to get to know the people. When it comes to the people outside, because that's a big need, because we're here to reach the people, and that's something that we need to pray about, you know, and we need to come together as the young working people and collectively decide and have a vision for what we want to do. So we've been discussing a lot of stuff, but you know, it's something that's inclusive. So basically what we're going to do, we're going to come together, like the students are coming together after the service. And we're going to have the chat. We're going to say, listen, what are the needs inside the church? What do you see? What are the needs outside? Let's put our heads together and we ask God for wisdom on how to be Jesus for the people that are in working places, you know, because it's so, just to tell us testimony, I was so excited a year ago when there was a girl that was working in our firm, to know that I can just bring this girl to small group. That's all I have to do. And when I brought her to small group, she had fellowship for the first time. She had people praying for her for the first time. And she connected with other young working people in that specific small group. And her life changed. You know, just to tell you how her life changed, she was living with her boyfriend. She was living in St. 2 months later, she resigned from us, went back home to PE. And the first words that she told me, she's going to find a church and she's going to become part of a small group. You know, that's life changing, and that's what God wants for the people. So, strategy, all of us are going to be part of the strategy, you know, because the most important thing about a vision is a buy-in, you know. We just don't want to do another thing. We want to do something that resonates in unity, like Reno was, in all our hearts, you know. We want to have agreement on what we do and how we do it, and we want to be on the same page, you know, because together, we can really do so much for the young working people, you know. But it's our hearts, you know, to see the change and to have all the young working people in the church activated by their passions, activated by who they are, activated in their gifts. And we want to leverage off each other, you know. There's so much that we can learn from each other and so much that we can just do together. But that's something that we want to unlock, that door, you know. To go into that and to really, really get to know each other.
Does that answer your question?
Great. Liana?
Yes.
You're going to have to help me, but do you want to go first?
You must know what your baby makes your baby jump.
Exactly. I think what's going to be important is for everyone to go and pray and understand where God wants to use you. Like you said, we want to do this in a dynamic of a group setting, and we don't want to do like me and Loki run this thing and make this work. It's not how it's going to pan out. So each one of us brings something special in what God has gifted us in, and that's what we want to utilize. So for instance, I might have 20 people at my workspace that I know I can connect with. Someone else might not, but that person I can bring in socially into a social context to help me facilitate when we do something outside of work. So what's important is to pray for understanding of how God wants to use you in 2013 with regards to your workspace and your gifting, and how God wants to actually facilitate that in a bigger group setting.
Just to add to that, we would really like to know what the needs are. So if you know, if you see a need, or you can pray so that we can all come together and we can, you know, there's so much need, we can't always address everything at the same time. But, you know, if we can agree at that evening or at that meeting on what are the needs that we want to address as a group, what is our focus going to be? And we can reassess, you know. That's the cool thing about making a plan, because that's what we're doing, making a plan and we're committing it to God. It's completely different to the vision, you know. We all know what the vision of this church is. We reach nations, we reach generations through church planting, discipleship making, leadership development. You know, that's what we do. But under that, there's a lot of stuff that we try and that we plan, and that works. You know, sometimes I think doesn't work the way we wanted it, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't stop us. You know, we can go further. So, we want plans. Let's bring plans. Even if it's not the best plan, it's fine. Just bring us the plan that you think might address the needs. But at the end of the day, it's is just to bind our hearts together at a meeting for what God's called us here to do. And that's really to let His kingdom come and to bring His kingdom into hearts that haven't got it, you know. Does that answer your question?
Okay, let's make it the last two questions. We had a question here on this side. No, no one has any. Oh, was it the same question? Okay. Anyone else? It starts tonight. This is it. Practically, we're going to begin to, we'll communicate to the small group leaders, and that sort of, that process has already sort of started, and Lucky and Renda will begin to schedule meetings just to, as they just explained, strategy meetings and how things, our plans can work. So that will be communicated to you with Manus and them. They of course are on the go already. The students are meeting right after this. So it's a process that's already in the going, and it will be communicated to you. Okay, let's go to Inga. We'll come back to Megan. I think that's a very important thing that you mentioned there. Of course, what we're not saying tonight is now we're going to split the church. Now there's going to be the working people and the students, and we're not going to talk to each other. Of course, that's not what we're saying. And of course, there's a massive role in, you know, I can call it cross-pollination, where what gets the students excited. Okay, that's maybe not the best word to use. But where we can learn from each other, where we can impart. Okay, we've messed up that question. But where we can bounce off each other. You know, where often students have a lot of passion, and young working people have more wisdom. They've gone through certain things, but there's something that we can contribute to each other's, and it's just a new phase in where we're going towards. So that's obviously something that we're going to work towards and create platforms for that to happen. Megan, we're going to do that, the final question. Yeah. Yeah, that is the odd occasion. So it we're not going to be strictly religious about how stuff works, but mostly it will just make sense if you're in the working to be with the working people. For Inga, for instance, she felt specifically God called it to be with the students, and that is of course where, you know, Rena said all of us must pray. Where does God want you? Where does He want to use you? And if you know that, then that's great. But of course, we can make exceptions here and there where practicalities means it needs to happen like that. But mostly, you know, and the big heart behind this is the fact that you are most effective to reach your generation. That is the big motivating force why we're doing this. Because someone at the same time in your life, if you ask Manus, Manus is going to be most effective to reach out to someone with a little baby. You know, because he knows the challenges, he knows that's his phase of life. And that's the heart behind this.
We want the students to reach out to the students. The students must be leaders towards the students because that's what God placed in them. And the same with the working people. The working people must lead the people at their work. That's what I've been sharing the last couple of weeks is we're called to be shepherds. Shepherds of a flock that is not just inside of this room, but so much beyond. So I don't know if that helps to answer. Lucky, do you want to share something?
It's just important for us to not see it as walls. We are creating walls against it. It's actually just a focus. Is that we, like Reina shared, that the wells with the students are open. You know, God's really moving there. And it's sort of just aligning ourselves with a plan to trust God to do the same with the young working and to make it easy to facilitate relationship with the young working. So it's positioned for getting outside people in as well. But it's not a wall, it's actually just to create focus for people as well for the season that we're going into.
For sure. Great.
Just in terms of the students, the district, there's going to be young working people involved, like Inga, involved there. And the principle there is really just obedience. And the scripture that God just gives me a lot is when Jesus was before the cross, he asked the Father, could this pass by? And one of the things that the Father said to him is, you glorified my name, you will glorify it again. So it was really about giving glory to the Father. And that's what it's really about for us that are still involved with the students. We feel God wants us to be there. We feel God wants us to be involved with the students. So it's not always going to be sociably maybe as easy for us, but we want to be involved with the students. We want to be there because God has called us there. And we feel we've got a place there. Because God has called us and we've got a mandate there. So just in terms of that side of things, sometimes you're not going to be exactly where it's your social sphere, but some of us are going to reach out where we feel God has told us to, just to bring that balance.
Amen. Okay, I just want to share a scripture. Before, I just want to ask us to, if we can just quickly pray. Obviously, you know, God has given us exciting things for next year, and exciting things are going to happen. And I just want to read us on how do we actually get there? How do we do this? And Jesus makes it very simple in his sort of last message towards his disciples in John chapter 15. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out of the branch and is withered. And they gather. My phone's just processing. Yeah, they gather them and throw them into the fire and they burn. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, and you ask what you desire, it shall be done for you. But by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And I was just reminded of this. Just looking at that tree that God has made us. And a while ago, Pastor Fred also said that this is really the season of abundance. And God wants to bring abundance of fruit amongst us. And especially where we at and where God's going to plant us in our spheres of influence. God wants us to bear fruit. And the key to that is very simple. It's abiding in Christ. It's abiding in Him. Because if you do not abide in him, if you're not connected to him, that's what Jesus said there, is the branch becomes withered. There's no life, there's no source of life and fruit from amongst that. So I just want to encourage you guys with that. And if we can maybe quickly turn towards each other,
for the working people with the working people, students with the students. And let's just take just 5 minutes and just pray for these ministries as we're going to end off tonight.